Today on Real Radio.
And so when we look at the Bible, remember this, the book of Romans tells us that whatever things were written before, Paul's talking about the Old Testament, was written for our learning so that through patience, through the scriptures, we might have hope.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are free. You my praise, my heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch, Lord. I live for your love.
Hello, and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament narrative of Ruth. We've just wrapped up our verse-by-verse examination of the book, and on today's program, Jack begins a final overview of this four-chapter account in a study called Heaven, Our Home. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
I want you to listen carefully. We are going to take a very casual, a very different approach to the book of Ruth. A lot of people don't realize, first of all, a lot of Christians, you guys, a lot of Christians can hardly find the book of Ruth in their Bibles. And that's just simply because, sad to say, but it's simply because it's Old Testament. And a lot of Christians think in their mind, well, it's the Old Testament, New Testament. I don't read Jesus' exact name in the Old Testament. I do read him in the New, so I'm going to hang out in the New Testament. But listen, the reason why God has allowed us to have the Old and New Testament combined together is because one accents wonderfully the other, and they shake hands in every conceivable way. They agree. And it's vital that we understand the Old Testament in correlation with the New. And so the book of Ruth is not only a wonderful Old Testament book, but the book of Ruth is a book that is extremely prophetic. And not only do many Christians not know where the book of Ruth is, they kind of get surprised when they hear that it is in fact a prophetic book. It's a prophetic book in this respect. It has blatant typology. There is a study, a disciplined study in the Bible, known as typological, not topical, but typological study. And it'd be very clear for some of the players in the book of Ruth for you to see clearly what God is exactly doing. Now, I don't want to bore you with some of these details, but this one thing is important. When it comes to prophecy, remember this, that prophecy is the very law that God uses in his Bible to confound all other faiths or attempted religions of man. There is nothing, okay, I don't want to upset you when I say this. If you're a Muslim tonight or a Buddhist, I'm not saying this to upset you, but I want you to listen and then go take this to study. There is no other book in the world that has the guts to, first of all, say it's prophetic, and then second of all, to back up everything it says prophetically. There is no other book in the world that is 100% accurate as the Bible is in the area of prophecy. Well, when you look at the book of Ruth, how can it be prophecy? Well, it's very, very much prophetic. Well, before we get into that, I want you to understand a few things. Ruth, as you know, is a Gentile. We are Gentiles, by and large, most of us. Our names are written down in heaven. The Holy Spirit lives in our lives. And if you haven't caught on to the fact, aren't you, don't you realize, don't you sense the fact that you're a stranger in this world? We are strangers. Now, you might be sitting here at night going, well, I don't think I'm a stranger. I have a great time at happy hour. I have a great time at church. I have a great time, you know, doing a little cocaine and then later and diving into my concordance. You know, I kind of got both worlds. No, no, you're not a Christian if that's what you're doing. I'm talking about being a Christian. If you're a Christian that is walking with Jesus, the fact of the matter is that you will be a stranger in this world. Isn't it funny? We were born here. We even learned the language, didn't we? We traffic around, but the Bible tells us we are not of this world. That's trippy. That's weird. Because the Holy Spirit, when he moved inside of us, we were born again. And now that we're born again, what is it that we're doing? What are we doing right now? We're learning a new language. We're learning a new life. We are trafficking now amongst a whole different group of people, by and large. This is where we find as our home, together. I hope you're not here by duress right now, but most of us should be here because we want to be here. It's a joy to be here. Man, I can't wait to hear what I'm going to hear or see some new verse in the scripture that blesses my heart. We should always approach God's word with a really deep expectancy. And I hope when you're coming to church, in fact, that's why we dedicate time to worship, to prepare our hearts. But I hope as you're coming to church that you're really thinking, Lord, speak to me this morning or speak to me tonight. Speak to me at this meeting or at that gathering together. It's very important. But the fact of the matter is that heaven is our true home. And even though Ruth was a Gentile, she was not any longer at home in Moab. She literally looked for a place, can I say this, whose maker was God. She was going to Bethlehem, to Israel, a place that she had never been before, and it was God's land. It was God's country. It still is. But she was going home to a place that she'd never been before. That's just like us. And so as we look at this tonight, it'd be kind of an interesting way to look at it. I want you to put your thinking caps on because it may be kind of cryptic at times, and I don't really want it to be. But listen carefully. Our hearts long to go to heaven. This is where our citizenship is. I got a note the other day. And if you're here right now, I don't know who you are, so I'm not attacking you personally, or I'm not attacking you at all, but I got a note the other day and it says, you talk too much about life after death. Well, if I talk about heaven, then I guess I do. I don't know about you, but I want to go. Well, that's very fatalistic. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm not fatalistic. Man, I know that my Redeemer lives. And I know that my house that I live in Chino Hills, that's just a little tent. It's a nothing compared to where we're going. Yeah, I know, I'm gonna vote, don't worry, I'm a voter, I'll vote. I'll mow my lawn, don't worry about that. I'll pay my taxes, I'm here, I'm occupying till he comes. But I can't wait till he comes. I can't wait to see the Lord. Well, Jack, are you insinuating you're some kind of a sinless guy and you're like worthy? Oh, no, I'm covered in the blood of Christ. That's why I'm excited to see him. I didn't do anything. He did it all. It's very, very important that we understand that. But heaven's our home, and Ruth is en route to that place. And we're very much like Ruth. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, you might want to jot it down. It says, for we know that if this earthly house, our body, this tent... Paul used the word tent. He said, if this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with human hands, that's eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly. In this. You can see Paul go like this. He's got his robe on. He goes, for in this we groan earnestly. We moan. Advil is becoming my friend. I'm really getting excited about Aleve. You know, it's tragic. I can't wait to shed this tent. Because I get up in the morning and I'm saying, have you seen the ibuprofen? I'm trying to get my body moving. That's tragic. This tent is perishing, Paul says. Boy, is it ever. He says, listen, we earnestly desire to be clothed with our habitation which comes from heaven. There is a suit, so to speak. It's a body. Paul tells us another place, it's a celestial body that's made for the heavens, that awaits us. You can't take this body into heaven. I know some of you young people, you might like your body. Well, you can't take it there. You know, go off the coast of Catalina, take a big breath and dive down as far as you can. You're going to last about 3 minutes, 4 minutes before you let all your air out, and then in about less than a minute, you're going to be dead. Because you're going to try to breathe at about 50 feet below the surface, and it won't work. You would need to have been a fish to live in that environment. Now, a fish can't live in this environment, can he or it or she? Well, neither a fish nor we can live in the heavenlies. We need a new suit. And that's what we're going to get. And so when we look at the Bible, remember this. The book of Romans tells us that whatever things were written before, Paul's talking about the Old Testament, was written for our learning, so that through patience, through the scriptures, we might have hope. So everything of the Old Testament was written that we might become smarter believers, knowing that the book is here to inform us. In Philippians 1, verse 23, the Bible says, Paul speaking, I'm hard pressed between two things, having a desire to depart this world and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. That's what he says. I kind of like the way he says it. I would love to go be with the Lord, but I'm going to hang around because you guys need more of my teaching, Paul said. He says, I'm in a hard place. We are to be diligent in our Christianity and our confession of Christ and our hope for Christ. In Luke chapter 21, verse 36, the Bible says, Jesus says, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy. And remember how you're counted worthy? By being covered in the blood of Christ, believing and trusting in Christ, that you may be counted worthy to escape all of these things that are coming upon the earth and stand before the Son of Man. That's great news. A prophetic overview of the book of Ruth. Very, very important. Remember back, first of all, that the book of Ruth is a book that exposes to a gal. Remember, Ruth and Orpah. There was Elimelech and Naomi and Mahlon and Chilion. Remember Mahlon and Chilion's names. Weakling and wimpy is what their names mean in Hebrew. Well, they died. They died actually under God's judgment. Elimelech, his life, he must not have been walking well, close with the Lord. He took his family out of Bethlehem, left Judah out of panic. The business wasn't doing very good. There was a famine in the land. He looked around and he said, man, we are hurting. He grabbed Naomi and the two boys and they went down into Moab, and God had told Elimelech through Moses, they had the five books of the Bible, the five books of the Old Testament. They would have had them. They would have read there that God had spoken to Moses and said, I don't want any of my kids to ever go down to Moab. Well, Elimelech gets up and says, I think we should go to Moab. Honey, have you prayed about this? I got it covered. I didn't ask you if you got it covered. I asked if you prayed about it. Oh, come on, follow me into the ditch. And he led that family down, and the men were judged by the Lord. Elimelech died. Mahlon and Chilion died. And Naomi was left alone with Orpah and Ruth. Because these two boys had married Gentile women. They weren't supposed to do that. Isn't it great how God recovers our blunders? Have you ever made a blunder? I want to show of hands. Have you ever made a blunder? Looks like a praise service, doesn't it? Yes, Lord. We've all made blunders, and we'll make them. We might be making one now. We might be right in the middle of one. But don't ever underestimate God's wonderful way of redeeming us from our messes. And he did that in a way concerning the name of Elimelech, his name, and his future. Because what happened was the Lord took these two Gentile women that the boys were not to be married to and put them into a crisis. And remember what the crisis was? Naomi says, I'm going back home to Bethlehem. It had been about 10 years. She goes, I'm going home. And both those girls said, we're going to go with you. And Naomi said, no, 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 you're not going to go. And Orpah says, well, okay, bye-bye. And she turns around and goes back to Moab where she belonged and where it was in her heart. But what did Ruth do? Ruth said, listen, your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you live, I'll live. And where you die, Naomi, I'm going to die. And I'm going to trust in your God. She was converted. And it's in that that we pick up the prophetic importance about the life of Ruth. Ruth is the type of the church of Jesus Christ, of us, worldwide, the Gentile bride. Now listen, very carefully, I'm going to go through this quickly. For 2,000 years, nearly 2,000 years, God has spoken in His Word, and He's told us through the Apostle Paul that the Lord was going to put Israel on the back burner. He would just set her off to the side because Israel had rejected God. He wasn't going to do away with her. Because remember, the Bible says that the father is married to Israel. The father is married. Jeremiah tells us this, that the Father God is married to Israel, already married to her. She was put off to the side because of rebellion. She didn't receive the Messiah. Remember Jesus, Palm Sunday? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you had only known this thy day. Well, they didn't accept Him as Lord and Savior. They set Him off to the side, so God set them off to the side. It was prophesied in Scripture, in the Old Testament. But what happened was, and you know this from the first six chapters of the book of Acts, God says, take the gospel to the Gentiles. And that's how you and I got saved. Somehow, maybe it was a radio program, maybe it was a neighbor, maybe it was a family member. Somehow you heard the gospel. Well, that's because in Jerusalem, God says, send the message now to the Gentiles. And the gospel went out. Paul the apostle was the chief apostle to the Gentile world. And the news eventually reached your heart in this day, in this age that you live in. And you gave your heart to Christ. In that moment, you became the bride of Christ. But she's a Gentile. She's engaged not to the Father. He's already married. Who is she engaged to? The Bible says Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Jesus says, I'm going to leave. In John chapter 14, He says, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you. I will not leave you alone. And so Ruth is a Gentile. She's been brought into a Jewish family. And her bridegroom-to-be will be one who comes out of Bethlehem. Oh, little town. It's amazing. She's a type of Christ. Well, what about Orpah? Good question. In this prophetic overview of the book of Ruth, Orpah is a type of, listen, the professing believer. Oh, it's true. Orpah is one who was in the family. She said, I'll go with you, Naomi. But Naomi said, no, don't. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13 and in Luke's gospel, I believe around chapter 8, somewhere around there, Jesus said there are four types of recipients that hear the word of God. Only four. And just think, in this room, there can only be four. Jesus says one of them receives the word of God, and before the sun even sets, the word of God is out of their heart. Then there's another that receives the word of God and they go along for a little bit, but the cares of the world choke out the word. Boy, have I seen that happen in the lives of people. They sign up for Jesus, and the next thing, 2 weeks later, they're signed up for that college program. Jack, are you saying we shouldn't go to college? No, we should go. Just get your priorities right, will you? You can go to college. I think you ought to go. I think you ought to take Jesus with you when you go. That's the problem. Some people get signed up on things. If God is telling you to do it, then do it. But take Him. Because I've seen so many people get involved in a project and Jesus gets left behind. And they get hurt. Be careful, because Jesus says, I'm warning you guys. There are those who love me and the word and they're excited. But then after a while, the cares of the world choke it out. And they choke me out of this person's heart. And they fall away. And then there are those who believe. Jesus said it this way. It's very alarming. He said, these are they who believe for a while. Guess what? We don't know what a while means. That's spooky. It means, in a broad sense, that they believe for a couple of hours. all the way out to many, 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 many years. And they give up. Jesus says, these are they who believe for a while, but persecution arises for the word's sake. Tribulation or trial comes. Temptation. In Luke, he uses the word temptation. He says, temptations come, and they give up. A person could profess Christ, live 30 years, and wind up missing heaven altogether because they were never born again. They believed in him. Now, I want you to hear this loud and clear, and to be quite honest with you, I don't care if we get past this next statement, because you must understand this, because all of us have been vandalized by this. An orpah is this type in the Bible. You and I know people who went forward at a Billy Graham crusade or a Harvest crusade or at church or whatever, and they might have even took off like a skyrocket. You know what I'm talking about? But there was never a lasting change in their lives. In fact, as time went on, they went right back into the world. They even called themselves Christians, but they no longer fellowshiped with Christians. They no longer talked like a Christian. They no longer walked like a Christian. But they would say they're a Christian. Now listen, this strikes home to every one of us. This finger can come right back to my life too, and people I know. That person gets run over by an Amtrak train or something. Well, Pastor Jack, they're a Christian, right? Well, I don't know. How can you say that? They went forward at a Billy Graham crusade 25 years ago. Well, that's good, but was Jesus present in their lives? Did you see Christ in their life? No. I have to respond by saying, you know what? All I can tell you is Jesus says you'll know the world and you know the church, the real church, by their fruit. Now, I hope this guy cried out to Jesus the moment those steel wheels were going over his body. I hope so. But the tragic thing is Jesus, out of four types of hearers, only one of them makes it to heaven. You can say tonight, well, I believe in God. Well, whoop-de-doo. What? Oh, yeah, you have to believe in God to carry the rest of the way, which is to put faith in him. And these are the ones that go to heaven. Read Matthew chapter 13. You can't walk around saying you're a Christian and live a non-Christian life. You can't say, well, I'm in the family, and your name's Orpah. It won't work.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a look at the Old Testament book of Ruth. It's a presentation called Heaven, Our Home, a final overview of the four-chapter narrative, the continuation of which we'll hear on Monday's edition of Real Radio. You know, the Old Testament narrative of Ruth and how she met Boaz is not only a beautiful love story, there are many other valuable assets to the literary work, which is one reason why it's included in the Old Testament. Well, we're making available Pastor Jack's series through the Book of Ruth on MP3 CD. Here's our offer. For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll send it your way. Just ask for the Book of Ruth on MP3 CD. To get in touch with us here at Real Radio by telephone, our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the cost of a stamp, you can send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. You may also visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.